Preparation going on for Lag BaOmer tonight. Rabbi Lerner was going to be speaking about all the different minhagim. There's a lot of interesting minhagim when it comes to Lag BaOmer. Some of them are questionable minhagim, burning. What are you allowed to burn? Is it a problem of Baal Tashchis? If you burn certain things, and other types of interesting minhagim. Why do we do them? What are they? That'll be tonight's topic. And tomorrow, Beis Hashem, we'll have the schus of having Rabbi Gamliel Rabinovich come and address the entire yeshiva. For Rabbi Gamliel, Lag BaOmer is a very, very special day. And I think that he can create a whole different mindset to what Lag BaOmer is for you. I was talking to Rabbi Gamliel about coming, so he asked me, the yeshiva's going to, the tomorrow, he asked me the whole schedule. So I said, sure, on Thursday night, we're going to be sleeping up north. He said, Thursday night, you're sleeping. Who has to sleep Thursday night? What does it mean, sleeping? He said, Chaval ala kesef. What are you wasting money on sleeping Thursday night? So, I guess for him, being by Reb Shimon on Lag BaOmer is a tremendous spiritual high. He can't even sleep. But I feel that whenever I heard Rav Gamliel speak before Lag BaOmer, it really put me in a very good place to be able to appreciate what's going on. So, it's a very special schus to be able to have him come to the yeshiva and address us. That'll be tomorrow night at 6:30. Anyone, even outside of yeshiva, that would like to hear is welcome to join us. Okay. We were speaking about previously something that maybe for some people is a little bit difficult. It's difficult to process, about the importance of staying in yeshiva, about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of us, and that parnasa is min hashamayim, and that there's no parnasa that makes a person wealthy or not wealthy. Become wealthy is because Hashem wants you to be wealthy. I know people are wealthy that sell fruit. I know people that are lawyers and have no money. I know people that are wealthy and they have gumball machines. Very wealthy people with gumball machines. People that are wealthy plumbers. And then you think plumber, he's not going to have any money. And there's contractors. I know contractors that mamash have no money. Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu decides if you have money, you don't have to have money. It's really up to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Now, how to choose a profession, all that stuff, that's for a different time, and we're not going to talk about that now. But the point is that when a bachur is still that age, he should be focusing on getting his foundation for his life and being in yeshiva. Avol. Im chas v'shalom, we're on page Ayin Aleph. No, we're not. That's in the old printing. I have my old printing. I love this one. We're on page Samach Beis. That's where we are. Avol im chas v'shalom. Hayu l'cha meniyos chazokos kol kach. If a person, chas v'shalom, has such tremendous impediments. Impediments means things that are getting in your way. Roadblocks. Shelo yachalta amoid behem. You couldn't hold. You couldn't withstand them. Velo yachalta liyishor ben Torah belvad. You couldn't stay just the ben Torah. You couldn't stay in yeshiva. Im chas v'shalom ne'enasta la'azoyves hayeshiva. In chas v'shalom, you were an oynes and you had to leave yeshiva. Velotzeis lashuk lemischa lemalacha ba'itcha bachlar. And to go out to the business world, to go to the market, to go into business, to work, when he's still a bachar. He says in the bottom, Kegoin, Shemuchrach lefamim, lefarnes is hoyrov, hachaloshim achmal letzlan. Let's see, his parents are very poor, and someone has to support his parents. They're very weak, I mean. His parents are weak, and you can't support his parents. What about that type of thing? I remember, if I'm not mistaken, if I remember correctly, Rav Menashe Svei, he's a Shol HaMeshiv in the Mir Yeshiva. His uncle is a very famous Rav Elia Shvei, was Rosh Yeshiva in Philly. And he said his father, at like 6 or 7 years old, was already working in a tie factory because someone had to support the family. Because you're talking about, back in the day when the times of the Depression, so there was no money. People didn't have money. And, anyone that was able to scrap together a few pennies, push it to the family shouldn't starve. So that sometimes would happen. And if a person has sickly parents, or his parents are very weak and they can't support them, sometimes the kids are supporting the parents. Sometimes the person's in that situation. And there are times that a person really has no choice but to go to work. What do we do under those circumstances? Now, before we continue, I remember a story. I was a bachur in yeshiva. I spent one Shabbos in a yeshiva called Neve Tzion. I spent one Shabbos in numerous different yeshivas. One, I spent one Shabbos in yeshiva Gush Etzion, and one Shabbos in the yeshiva Neve Tzion. Those are very, very different yeshivas. And the Beit Zion was considered to be, they like, it's a pride of theirs a little bit. They were like, they dealt with like really the most trouble in Eretz Yisrael. Was the Beit Zion was like, that was the trouble place. And my roommate in yeshiva was dorm counselor there or whatever. He was like a, considered to be like a madrich there, whatever it was. A kitzur, I spent a Shabbos there. And the mash, that's what they called him, the mashkiach, he spoke by Shal Shudas, and he told a story. I remember, like, mamish, the way it, like, went into me, it penetrated me. I still remember the story. I'm talking about close to 30 years ago, I heard this story. I was talking about a bachar who was in yeshiva, and he was doing well in yeshiva. His parents wanted him to come home. It's time to move on. And he wasn't ready. He was not ready. Now you realize these boys, you know, sometimes they just turn the corner and, you know, his past is not that far behind. He wasn't ready. And the mash told him, you're not ready to go. And he's like, what can I do? My parents want me to come home. What am I supposed to do? I have no choice. And he left. Anyway, a little while later, I don't know how much later, I don't remember the exact detail, but I remember this story very clearly. The mash was driving by and he stopped off at his house to see how he's doing. He was in America. The mash was visiting America. And he went to visit him. Knocked on the door, you know. This is Shlomi there, David there, whatever his name was. He says, no, he's not here. He lives in the village. Maybe you could go visit him. He could use some chizik. So he goes to the village. Now, the village, I don't know, I'm not so current on, like, you know, the landscape in America, but the village was known as like a real interesting place. And there he was. This head shaved with like these things coming out of his head, like all different colors, you know, like really whacked out. And he was like, wow, that's really interesting, you know, and they were like talking a little bit. And in the course of the conversation, he asked him, he said, like, your parents allow you to do this? Like, it's like, this is nuts. He's like, my parents allow me to do this. It's my life. I do whatever I want. It's like, oh, so when it comes to yeshiva, your life's like hanging in the balance and you know you're just barely holding on. What can I do? I can't do anything. You know, my parents tell me I gotta come home. But when it comes to when a person wants to, you know, to become a conehead or whatever he calls that, and wants to dye his hair all different colors, then I can do whatever I want. It's my life. No one's gonna tell me what to do. Now, I am not suggesting a person fight with his parents. All I'm just saying is, sometimes people like throw out like, "Oh, what can I do? Can't do anything about it. Can't do anything about that," because they're perhaps just excusing themselves. But if a person is in a situation where he really has no choice, he has no choice. He has to go out to work. What does he do then? Gam oz al tisyayish. Also then, a person should not give up hope. Chas v'shalom, milioys Yehudi b'leiv shalom. To be an Erlech Hayid in Gansin Erlech Hayid. A person shouldn't give up hope. Gam oz es Hashem lokecha chas v'shalom al ta'azoiv. Don't leave Hashem. Da'ano, shenisyoi nois koshim e'ele, shegershim e'beis elokeinu min e'yeshiva o'imdim l'fanecha. Whatever nisyonis you faced that's like making you leave yeshiva, that's nothing. The nisyonis you're about to have are huge. But it doesn't mean you can't overcome these nisyonis. Chazak v'amoid behem. Be strong and you can overcome these nisyonis. This yeshiva was started 13 years ago on the first yahrzeit of my Zeda. My Zeda's name was Aaron Dov Rosenbaum. Aderes is the Rosh Yeshivas Aaron Dov Rosenbaum. And my Zeda was a balabas. He I'm pretty sure went to public school when he was in elementary school. I don't know, the yeshivas were like, you're talking about in the early 1900s. He was like he called himself an American Joe. He had a mustache, my Zayda. And he was a simple guy, you know. He went to yeshiva a little bit when he was younger, went to yeshiva university, to YU. And then he went to work. He was working. He had a knitting factory. The nisyonis that generation had, so great, the nisyonis that my Zayda had to stay erlach, to think of it, so many people buckled under pressure. We don't even know what it means in nisayon of chil Shabbos, of people that are, you know, worried about being able to put bread on the table. We didn't even know what the nisyonis were for, you know, in those days, there was no culture that we have. We have so much of our culture of Yiddishkeit didn't exist. But and it's something that's possible. A person can do that. My Zayda finished Shas many, many times. He was Mavir Sedra every single Shabbos, said Tehillim every single week, said a parak of Rambam every single week. He used to get up in the morning at around 4 o'clock every day in order to learn. He was a balabas, a guy with a mustache. But is it doable? It's for sure doable. It's a very hard thing to do, but a person has to be prepared for the fact that there's something difficult. But if a person realizes that he can and realizes that he must, if a person doesn't take no for an answer, so then we can overcome these nisyonos. A person can be an erlich balabas. And let's talk about how to do it. Chazak va'amoid bahem. Kishor atzmecha b'Hashem, v'oz gam hu yiyeh imcha b'chol inyonecha. You have to connect yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have to have a strong connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then He will be with you in all of your inyonim. One of the things that I think makes a very big difference is a person learns how to daven. If a person has a strong davening, now, perhaps in yeshivas we don't emphasize davening in a certain way. We don't study davening or whatever it might be. But in yeshiva we spend so much time with Hashem. We're learning all day, right? And then we're davening all day. What are we doing? I mean, we're basically, you know, maxing out with Hashem. But when a person's a balabas, he's not necessarily doing that. And his opportunity to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is through davening. The word tefillah means, Rabbi Gamliel in the Sefer, Tiv HaTvila, the word Tvila means connection, to enmesh, to be connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you daven, you're connecting with Hashem. And a person has to be able to work on his davening. That he should be able to have, his davening should have some meaning to it. Davening is meant to be a spiritual boost. The reason we daven three times a day is the same reason why we eat three times a day. You eat three times a day because your body needs that type of injection of calories. It needs food in order to be able to function three times a day. Your neshama needs three times a day a boost. But for some people, davening is just, you know, just being gedavent. Gedavent is getting it over with. And davening can be such a pleasant experience. You know, if a person takes the time to think about what tachanun is, for example. I love tachanun, and that someone changed that perspective for me. I didn't, because like whenever there was the no tachanun day, there was that no tachanun dance that we did, you know, like we were so excited, like we just scored a touchdown or something, like especially if it was Mondays or Thursdays, that was like unbelievable, you know. There's a joke someone has this joke that like if there's like two brisim on the same day, you should get a no tachanun card so that you could use it like on a different, like, oh, come on, that's not fair. I should get a no, you know, I'll use it, like. But someone told me an amazing story. Rav Nachman Levavitz, he's a Rosh Yeshiva Namir, told me this story. There was a male, I don't know what his name is, in Bensonhurst, who was mamish like the most popular mohel around. I don't know if any people would know. I don't know. The guy was mamish doing brisim every single day. And when the mohel is at a minyan, so you don't say tachanun. He used to daven at the same minyan every single day. They never, ever said Tachanun. Mm-hmm. So if you ever needed to know, like, where to go, not to say Tachanun, you know that minion. They took him to a din Torah that he should daven somewhere else every once in a while. We also want to say Tachanun. We also want to say Tachanun. It's a whole different approach to what davening is. Davening is an opportunity to connect with Hashem. And there's no time like the present, my friends, to figure that out. Now's our time to figure that out, because we're not rushing to work. We're not, and I didn't even think rushing to Seder is a little bit bizarre. You're rushing to Hashem, you're going from Hashem, so let's mess up this one. I mean, davening, we should take time to figure out davening, to understand like what we're supposed to accomplish with davening. You're going to be davening for the rest of your life a lot. So much of your, you think about the amount of thousands, tens of thousands of hours you spend davening in your lifetime. It could either be this very painful, like pointless exercise, or you could actually make your davening to something. So now's a great time for us to work on that. It happens to be that this upcoming week we're doing a special extra chizuk in davening, lekrat Shavuos. We'll talk about that hopefully next week, but there's no reason that you can't start tomorrow morning, first thing in the morning. Think about Dalef Nehemi Ato Aimed. You're going to stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Think about the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of all blessing and the source of all pain. And if a person has something that bothers him, the place to go is to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person wants to be able to enjoy his learning. A person struggling with certain emotional issues or certain things that are going on in his life. Talk to Hashem. That's the source of everything. And a person is able to do that, he feels unburdened. He feels like he's, you know, after a person davens, the way he should feel is like a release. It's so healthy to daven. It's just so. It makes you feel so good about everything. It takes all the stress out of life. Connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the best way I think to do that is through davening. So a person that's going out to work and doesn't have opportunities to learn all the time is to daven. So we have to try to find the time while we're bachrim to try to work on our davening. It should be able to be one that is going to stay with us. Lo yavar alecha yoyim beloi toira. Should not go through a day without toira. I met with someone today. Very interesting person. He's a businessman. He's a successful businessman. But he wasn't successful in yeshiva. He was a little bit of a, you know, he wasn't going smooth in yeshiva. His father was a very, very big Talmud Chacham, close to Maron Reb Shach Zatzal. So the boy was out. He wanted out. I'm out of yeshiva. I don't want him to say anymore. I'm done. My father was very worried. What's going to be with my son? So he went to Reb Shach. And Reb Shach said, I want to meet with the boy. He met with him. He said, listen, I understand you want to leave yeshiva. It's your prerogative. It's your choice. I'm telling you one thing, though. He said, every single day, you have to make sure you learn at least an hour a day. Every day. Minimum an hour a day. You learn an hour a day, every day. So then, okay, it's your choice. I'm not telling you should leave, but if you're leaving, that's the one condition. And then I'll tell your father that he should let you go. He did it. But someone explained to me, who was involved in the story, what was the Reb Shach's lundus? What was the oimek of what Reb Shach was saying? He's a very erlich person today, a successful businessman, erlich, he's ben toira. His oimek was, you're never leaving yeshiva. As long as you're still learning, you're still connected to your yeshiva days. You're still a ben yeshiva. You could be a ben yeshiva in the yeshiva. You could be a ben yeshiva out of the yeshiva, but you're still a ben yeshiva. So if a person is still learning, so then what happens is he still feels like that's still my identity. And this is a tremendous, tremendous, I think, an important foundation. What is our identity? There are people who are out of yeshiva who still identify as being a ben yeshiva, a ben Torah. And there are people who are in yeshiva who never identify as being a ben Torah. They're just visiting. They're just here, you know, because I have something to get out of the yeshiva, or I got to go through it, or I'm enjoying it, or whatever. But this is not me. This is not me. I have a Talmud, Baruch Hashem, a very, very special young man in the yeshiva, and he went out to business. He asked me, you know, if I was wearing colored shirts, you know. I suggested to him, you should continue wearing a white shirt. And he told me, when he wore a white shirt, he felt like, I am a ben yeshiva. I'm still in yeshiva. I'm out working. He was out working. He was in court. He's a lawyer and all that. He said, but he still wears a white shirt every day. Every day. He's been working for many years. This is because he still feels like I'm still connected to that yeshiva. Rabbi Reisman, when he spoke here by our last Achnasa Sefer Torah, I'm pretty sure it's by the Achnasa Sefer Torah, he said this. Because our other Sefer Torah that we have here is given by Mati Mendelowitz. Mati, who learns here in yeshiva first Seder, is a businessman. Baruch Hashem, he's a successful businessman. He learns here first Seder in yeshiva. He's a ben Torah who works. So Reisman was bemoaning the fact that the people, they go out to work, all of a sudden they put on these colored shirts. It's like when they get on the plane after living in Eretz Yisrael, it's like they're inaugurating their I'm out. No, I'm at. What was it? They put on their polo shirt, their colored shirt, whatever, and it's like I'm done. And they, you know, all the white shirts, you know, you leave them for Shabbos, you know, and that's it. He said this was his zog. He said, if you'd ask me, I would say all yeshivas should wear colored shirts, just so that when someone leaves yeshiva, he shouldn't hang up his cleats. He shouldn't be like leaving yeshiva, like because it's like a statement. I'm done. I'm finished. What do you? That's a terrible statement. You're not finished just because you're moving on. You're still part of the yeshiva. This is still what you identify with. This is still who you are. And you have to stay that way. And I want to make a suggestion. The same goes with the type of learning that you're doing. There's a thing when yeshiva, so Baruch Hashem, we go relatively, you know, not a snail's pace, not such a fast pace, but we're like regular yeshivas, I guess. Yeshivas people learn relatively slowly. All of a sudden you become a balabas. Now we have to start doing daf yomi. Now all of a sudden, what's daf yomi? For balabatim. What does that mean? That means my yeshiva learning is over. My yeshiva days are over. Now I'm a totally different breed now. I'm like a different guy. We do daf yomi. I think that is a travesty. That is a tragedy. That is a terrible thing. I do not mean to say that daf yomi is a terrible thing. Daf yomi is a wonderful thing for the right people. I don't think any of those people are sitting in this room today, including myself. I've tried daf yomi, and I think it would have been a disaster if I'd still be learning daf yomi. That's not what we do. Yeshivas don't learn daf yomi. So all of a sudden, I go out to work, now I have to start doing daf yomi. Why? The only advantage of daf yomi for someone like us is, okay, so then at least I feel like I finished something. Okay, so in other words, even if I'm not really learning, I'm not really connecting my learning, but I turned all the pages. What is that? That's closing your book on learning. I was talking to one of the Balabatim who finished Shas. He finished Shas. He said, listen, I don't know what I learned, but I turned all the pages. I'm like, that is beautiful. Not beautiful. That's pathetic. My Zedo finished Shas many times, as I told you, learned it four times a day, did the daf four times a day. So he spent 4 or 5 hours on the daf. But we go to the daf yom and we sit there, you got a coffee in one hand, a muffin or a donut in the other, and you sit there and the guy reads the daf and you're like, you know, maybe when there's like a Agadat HaGemara, it's like, oh wow, that's cool, check that out. Okay, we finished? Okay, great. Wow, look at that, we're going to finish the Masechta in 2 weeks. Wonderful, when's the Sima Shas? Well, I could say I finished the Shas, look at me. Wow, my wife's so proud of me. Isn't that great? It's pathetic. That's not learning. That's davening. I mean, that's the pathetic davening. But we're supposed to learn like we're learning. And Baruch Hashem, I want to give a shout out to Rabbi Newman, who started what's called the Harav Nor Kinya Masechta, and he's created a new momentum for people to actually sit and really learn what they're learning. Slow learning, it's real learning. And these guys are fleshing in the Gemara. They're like really like living the Gemara. And I see it with my Talmidim. I see the alumni that go into it, and it doesn't have to be Dafka Kinyan Masechta. It could be Amud Shavua, Daf Shavua. It could be Stama learning. You know, we now, Beis Hashem, hopefully this week, this upcoming week, we're going to be, they're going to have someone who's hired to learn with our alumni, to learn with them Gemara. Just sit and learn like you learned in yeshiva. You're still a ben yeshiva. A person does that, he keeps connected with his yeshiva. It's like a lifeline. And that's what a person needs to do. Now, it's a big challenge for some of our talmidim of our yeshiva, because many of them, Baruch Hashem, feel that this is their home, this yeshiva, and they're there. And it's very hard. But a person's going to have to come up with something. And I encourage everyone that goes, if they have to go to a chutz la'aretz, that they should find a yeshiva that becomes their yeshiva. You know, set up roots. Make it that you have a Rebbe there and have something where you're connected to, because long distance is very challenging. Hispalel olav me'oimek libcha. Davin to Hashem from the depths of your heart. Shfoich es nafshecha. Pour out your heart to him. Lefana b'chol oifen shetirza. Im oifen zeh she'anu roishim l'chokan. If it's the way that we're going to tell you, if it's in another way, bein b'dibor, bein b'hira halev, whether it's you're speaking or you're thinking, tachshoyf, think the following thing. Ana Hashem, boichin kaloyes valev. Hashem, the one who checks a person's innards and a person's heart. Ato yodea ki lo b'mered u'b'mal chas v'sholem. Azavti es Talmud Torah. You know that it wasn't because I wanted to rebel. It wasn't because I was trying to go against you that I left the Talmud Torah. V'yotzasi la'asuk b'divrei ha'olam. I went out to do things that are mundane. Lo'i b'zodoin yotzasi la'me'olam. It's not intentional that I left it. Me'olam ha'eres el'olam shel hevel. I went from a world of truth to a world of emptiness. Yodea ates kol ha'inuyim asher his anesi b'hem. You know all of the conflict, all of the struggle that I went through. Until I was broken. I didn't have a choice. I feel like I did everything I could. I struggled. I tried. I had to go out to, I have no choice to get Parnasa. I'll tell you an amazing story. I think it's an amazing story. We had a bachur in yeshiva who had shaychus to Breslov. And he wanted to go to Uman. Now his parents were not Breslov, and his parents didn't want him to go. His parents did not want him to go. Now, if my Masoira from my Rebbeim, as much as I love, you know, you all know that I have a very soft spot for Rabbi Nachman and for Breslov, is you don't leave Eretz Yisrael. You don't leave Eretz Yisrael on Rosh Hashanah to go down over there. That's not, and you should know that large chalukim of Breslov were against it for many years. I'm not going to go into the politics. Forget that for now, okay? But if a person has real affiliation to Breslov, I'm not stopping him. If it's real, if it's genuine, someone wants to try it out, I'm not okay with that. But someone who is a real Breslover and really has shaychus to Breslov, so, but he's in conflict now. His mother doesn't want him to go. What should he do? So I took him to a big Breslover mashpia, one of the big famous Breslovers. Probably you all heard of him. We sat there together. What should he do? And I was happily a little bit surprised, not really surprised, because I was going to tell him to go. I was not going to do that. Going against your parents, I'm not going to do that. I was afraid he was going to say, Rabbi Nachman, Rosh Hashanah. He didn't say that. He said, if you really want to go, daven to Hashem. Hashem, daven to Hashem, Hashem, make it happen. Hashem, let me go. I really want to go. He said, but what happens if my parents don't let? He says, daven to Hashem, they should let you go. And then, Beis Hashem, you'll be able to go. But what happens if they don't let? So you can't fight with your parents. His mother was fire against it. He said to me, he walked out of the room, he said, there's no way my mother's going to let. Forget it. It's not happening. I said, daven. He did. He said, you wouldn't believe it. It's the craziest thing. My mother just called me up and says, if you really want to go, go. It was like, I don't know. And he went. It was like amazing. But there are people that sometimes, if a person says, I really want to be in yeshiva, my parents are making me crazy and this and that. Daven to Hashem. I really, really want to be here. I understand this is extremely important to me. I understand this is the right thing. This is what I really want to do. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do anything. And Baruch Hashem, we've seen Talmidim that have managed to, at the same time, work and remain Erlecha B'nai Torah. Baruch Hashem, we have here a very dear Talmud, Rafael Dov Cohn. He's sitting in the back over there. Look at him. He's a Ben Taira. He has a beard, and he's sitting like you would never know. He's someone who's, Baruch Hashem, working, and still coming to yeshiva whenever he can. He even sends donations from Australia every once in a while to yeshiva. And he's, but this is an error. This is a model of someone who is, at the same time, he's working, but he's still, his heart is in yeshiva. He's still, everything about his mind is in yeshiva. It's doable. We could all do it. I mean, halavai, we shouldn't have that nisayan. It's a tremendous nisayan. And we've seen a lot of people fail. We've seen a lot of people that have gone, they turned the corner and they ended up back where they started. Because it's a very, very big nisayan. It's not impossible. We try to avoid nisyonos. We ask Hashem every day, Hashem, don't send me nisyonos, and don't send me bizyonos, because nisyonos often end up in bizyonos. But is it doable? It's doable. It's been done. It's been done. Talmidim of this yeshiva have done it. It's been done. The yeshiva is named after him, Izeidu, who I feel was an exceptional Ben Toyer, even though he worked his entire life. So that we have role models. There is precedent for it. But at the same time, the challenges are very big. So we're in the middle of davening to Hashem, and we said, Hashem, I tried very hard to get out. Let's just finish this. Avol Hashem, gam ata, now, chas v'sholem, en eni oizei v'yischa, I'm not leaving you. Lo yes Torah, schiva lo yes avoidoscha, kadoisha, I'm not leaving your Torah, I'm not leaving your avoida. Gam ata, also now, ani mispala leilecha, I'm davening to you, v'lo imid yoise mehiyocholti, I'm learning more than I can. I'm trying to find extra time to learn. It's learning on the train, or it's learning in the car, or I have like a mishnayis, and I have a few minutes, I pull out a mishnayis. I'm learning more than I can. And I'm always thinking about you, Hashem. Ana Hashem libi yifachid v'nafshin tispalitz. My heart is afraid, and I have trepidations. Kivsoraka, I'm like this very soft little sheep. Aniva derech rochoik v'oyim lefanai. It's a very far and it's a very scary way. Nichnas ani ba'olam hazeh. I'm in this world and I stepped in. Shemole mastitim misoitnim. There's so many different traps, so many different challenges. There's so many people that are trying to get it. Michayos, tarfos. There's animals that are predators. V'zeidim orvim. And there's people that are trying to ambush me. V'gufin nishmasi. They're after my body. They're after my soul. Avolim ani kesenida. If I'm like a lost little sheep, Haloi Roi Yisrael Ato, you are my shepherd. V'zeh kol tikvasi, that's my hope. Noye ketzoy noy sanu, Hashem, lead me. Kvoitcha, zeh kol chazki, that's my whole strength. Darko shel Roye, the way of a shepherd. Kasher titeh seh achas, when one seh starts wandering off, min atzoyin biyar, if he's going to the forest, upoga boy hari, and the lion is now going to, trounce on him, v'hadoiv l'tarfa, and the bear is going to tear it apart. Tifachid b'chol nafsha titzak. And now this little sheep just screams with all of its from the bottom of its heart. V'yakshiv haroya, and the shepherd hears. Yemu rachamov, he's going to have so much compassion. V'yochish latzil, it's going to save him. Kol oid ruach chayim ba'apa. As long as this sheep is still alive, he's going after that lion. Kein gamani mekabel alai. Also I. I want to be accepted by myself. Shekol darki harachoyka mesubacha. I have this long path. It's far and it's very windy. Eilecha etzak. I'm going to call out to you, Hashem. Ana Hashem hatzel oisi. Hashem, save me. Va'ata tishma men Hashem. I'm you, Hashem. Just listen. V'tochish la'achazonai b'tzitzis roishi u'be'meisrei levavi l'hatzileinu l'hadricheni alecha Hashem. Hashem, save me. The world out there is a pretty scary place. It's a pretty dangerous place. It's very rough to stay erlich out there. It's very rough. A person understands the challenges and davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help. B'ez Hashem, we're going to continue with more. Excellent.